do da dippity. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this, because this is kind of fat.
And to ESPN 1000, Pat Boyle making his way over to the NBC Chicago studios to do the pregame for your Chicago Blackhawks at Nashville today. Early start on that one, 11:30, can catch it all. And we have a lot of time to take your calls, 312-332-3776. If you want to, we didn't have time to get your calls during the hockey show. So if you want to weigh in on the Pat Foley celebration, or we got into a little bit of a conversation about play-by-play announcers in general here in Chicago, what they mean to you. And I think to older sports fans out there, they mean quite a bit. To the younger generation of sports fans and how they consume their favorite sports, maybe not so much. And Jay Cantu, our young genius behind the glass, certainly would fit in that category. And Jake, just curious as to, one, how you consume your you know, favorite sports, whatever they may be, and do you have favorite announcers? Do you care who's calling a game?
Oh, I definitely care who's calling a game. I guess now the way I consume it is Apple TV. They're taking over. But
I'm there with you. I finally said goodbye to the DirecTV satellite and switched over to Apple TV this year.
Yeah, it's crazy how things have just evolved to this now. But got to give a big shout out to Dave Schrader, old Dallas Stars play-by-play announcer who passed away to cancer a few years ago. One of my favorite announcers to ever call a game for Dallas Stars hockey.
Because you grew up in Texas, right?
Yeah, I grew up in Texas and grew up around there. Daryl Raiser-Ray, another big guy who's been doing he did a little bit of play-by-play, but also analyzing for more than 20-plus years now for the Stars. So those are my go-to guys.
Boy, you know, it is interesting because I think a lot of young people basically don't sit down and watch an entire game of anything, really. They just, you know, check out the highlights, and you can go on NBA.com, NHL.com, MLB.com, and see the game boiled down to three minutes or 5 minutes, right? And on your phone, you can sit there and watch the highlights. If you want to see Marcus Stroman fall apart in the fourth inning last night, it's right there for you in 30 seconds. You can get pretty much the recap of, you know, there's the three-run home run, and there goes the three-run lead, and let's call it a night, even though Marcus Stroman had, as Carm pointed out on the Odds Couple, he had a 2-1 record and 1.61 ERA at Coors in three starts and then was sailing along until he wasn't. But, yeah, it's interesting because a lot of people just – they won't invest 3 hours or more to watch an entire game, and so therefore they don't fall in love with Pat Foley or Harry Carey back in the day or, you know, whoever, Adam Amin now or Jason Benetti and Stoney. They just don't have the time or the interest. They want to know what happened, but they want to do it on their terms.
And see, I'm the type of guy, too, that I'll watch the full 3 hours, and then I'll go and watch the 10-minute highlight. So I love to just go back. Even though I know what's going to happen, I love to go back and rewatch it all.
That's perfect. 312-332-3776. I don't know if you also would sit down, if you're an Angels fan, and watch Joe Madden walk Corey Seager intentionally with the bases loaded to avoid the big inning, and the Rangers end up getting three runs anyway. But the Angels won that game, so I guess he, you know, whatever the strategy was last night. One thing about baseball, I say it all the time, if you do sit down and invest 3+ hours in a baseball game, a lot of times you'll see something you've never seen in any other baseball game. Now, I saw that with Barry Bonds. I saw, you know, managers go ahead and walk him intentionally with the bases loaded. Corey Seager, I know his numbers were good, but that was interesting yesterday, too. But, you know, Joe Madden got away with it yesterday, and the look on Mike Trout's face when they had a close-up of him while the intentional walk was going on was like, what the hell's going on here? But that's Joe being Joe. So 312-332-3776 if you want to join the conversation. And the conversation on the eve of the Bulls playoff series starting up in Milwaukee tomorrow, 5:30 tip. You're heading up north to Fiserv. I don't think we're going to see Bulls Nation turning out, you know, kind of like when the Cubs are good and they go up to the Brewers Park, then Miller Park, and fill the place and make it Wrigley Field North. And the Bulls, back in the day when they were contending, would have a good fan representation up in Milwaukee because it's a quick drive, especially if you're in the northern suburbs. If you are heading up there, you can get standing room tickets for $46. And if you had worked a little overtime this week, you can get a front row seat for $2,600 in a series that no one, and I mean nobody, is giving the Chicago Bulls a chance. If you look at the Chicago Sun-Times polling place in the paper today, even the Bulls faithful, who normally would put on Bulls-colored glasses and try to make a case to win the series or at least have their loyalty vote, their hard vote instead of their brain, the Bucks in five or six gets 47% of the vote. A Bucks sweep is 35.7%. Bucks in seven, if the Bulls taking them to a limit, 2% of the people weighing in. And Bulls in an upset, 15.3%. Probably very loyal Bulls fans who don't want to believe otherwise. But interesting, on the NBC Sports Chicago playoff preview show, Steve Kornacki brought out his big board, and Jason Goff asked Mr. Numbers, what are the odds of your Chicago Bulls pulling the upset against the Milwaukee Bucks?
NBC News' Steve Kornacki is here to break it down for us again. Steve, the defending champion Bucks are heavy favorites. What does the data say about the Bulls' chances to win this series?
Yeah, the defending champs, as you say, the heavy favorites. We take a look at the bracket there. It is the 3-6 matchup. Historically, 3-6 since the NBA went to best of seven in the first round almost 20 years ago. The sixth seed is 8-30 in this matchup. That's about a 21% win rate. And when you factor in, again, the fact that the Bucks swept the Bulls this year, our computer model thinks the chances of the Bulls winning this series come down to about 17.5%. So that's about a 1-6 shot that the Bulls win this series. And that's what the computer says. Another interesting way of looking at this is, what does the public think? The public that's betting on this series, betting on the NBA playoffs with their own money. This is another interesting way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. These are the odds to win the NBA title. And look at this. Behind the Suns, the Bucks right now are the second choice to repeat as NBA champions. 9-2 shot on the Bucks to win the whole thing. You got to go pretty far down the list, basically to the bottom, to find the Bulls sitting there at 100-1. So if you're a Bulls fan and you're a true believer and you want to put a couple bucks on them, could be very rich if they truly, truly shock the world and not just beat the Bucks, but win the whole thing.
Yeah, shout out to all the true believers out there who put a couple of dollars down on the Bulls. Steve, if the Bulls can win game one, how does that impact their overall odds to get out of the first round?
So it makes it interesting, certainly, right? We're showing you a 17% chance, according to our model right now, that the Bulls win the series. If they can steal the home court advantage, that's what a win in Milwaukee would do. The number would basically double. Win game one, and suddenly you're still an underdog, but now you're looking at about a 35% chance of winning the series. You got a chance. If you could take advantage of that home court advantage, you could win the series theoretically. Now, if the Bulls lose game one as expected, obviously the challenge becomes that much tougher. Then you got to win like 4 out of 6 against the defending champions. The odds of winning the series fall to 11%. For the Bulls if they lose game one. So it's always the team that's the underdog. Boy, if you can ever steal game one on the road, it really can upend things. You're looking at a difference between 11% potentially and 35% based on that game one.
Thanks to Jason Goff and NBC Sports Chicago. They had Steve Kornacki on breaking it down, and not great news if you're a Chicago Bulls fan, but it is interesting. Bulls 9.5-point underdogs going up to Milwaukee in game one tomorrow. And you heard Steve Kornacki say it. If they could find a way to get game one and then, you know you're splitting the first two games up there and then coming home, it's a 35% chance to pull the complete upset. Still, not great numbers. But what would happen? What would need to happen to even win a game in this series? You know, you look at Zach LaVine going into his first playoff experience in the NBA and all the seasons he has under his belt. And then you have guys like Kobe White and Io and Patrick Williams, you know, also going into the postseason. It's a whole different animal. And Alex Caruso said he's been trying to throughout the season when, look, we've known the Bulls are going to be a playoff team for 4, 5, 6 months now. At a 90% plus probability when they're sitting in front of the Eastern Conference for all those weeks. So Alex Caruso was trying to spread a little bit of his experience and give him a little heads up on what a different type experience it is in the postseason versus the regular season. And he said he was just trying to tell him how intense it's going to be, trying to get him ready for it. And he's been talking throughout the season. But he said they would have some idea, but they won't be able to know until they get thrown in the fire. And another guy who's been there and done that is Tristan Thompson. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, no, I think that they feel it. I think coaches turn up the intensity. And, you know, I think guys understand how important this is because this is all it's about. You know, regular season is great and all, and it's cool. You know, the regular season is like a 7. The playoffs is like an 11 in terms of intensity. So guys got to understand how important each moment is. And I think Coach and us veterans have done a good job explaining that to guys. And they'll see. They'll see game one in Pfizer, Forum, or however you say that arena's name. I don't play there, so it don't really matter to me what the name is. It's going to be rocking in there, especially them being defending champs. You know, they have high expectations, so we got to come in with us against the world mentality.
How confident are you guys? Talk with the best guys.
So that's Tristan Thompson talking about, doesn't even want to know or care what the name is, Pfizer Forum, he doesn't care if he's, it's going to be rocking, and he's exactly right. And speaking of coaches, he talked about coaches turning up the intensity, and Billy Donovan's been trying to do that. Now, you wouldn't know it from the last few weeks of the regular season, the way the Bulls have limped right into the postseason and played some of their worst basketball, and they're not going to have Lonzo Ball, and they're, you know, Zach LaVine's not 100%. And you talk about coaches. Chris Fleming and Damian Cotter, two of the Bulls' assistant coaches, tested positive yesterday or earlier this week for COVID, and they will not make the trip. Now, they've been trying to do help out with Zoom meetings and such. It's a couple assistant coaches, may not mean anything to you and I and you know, fans, but to some players, they will miss their assistant coaches. Not the same as the Clippers last night. They missed Paul George, who tested positive for COVID and had to miss yesterday's game. The Clippers lose that one to the Pelicans by, 4 or 5 points. And so they, you know, they certainly missed Paul George. And that's how COVID's still with us, and we still don't know. It would take maybe the whole Milwaukee Bucks team come down with COVID for the Bulls to win. But make your case, 312-332-3776. Come back, take your phone calls, and we'll do that on ESPN 1000 right after this.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Good to see the sun out on Saturday morning in the great city of Chicago. 312-332-3776. Spring is here. Hopefully, I believe by the end of this week, we're going to be up in the 70s, and hopefully we're done with the snow. But it is postseason basketball time, and to their credit, the Chicago Bulls found a way, even though they're not going into the postseason with any momentum because they have been pretty much awful these past few weeks, and they're still dealing with some injury. Lonzo Ball is out. But Tristan Thompson talked about how their young guys will get thrown in the fire, and one of those young guys in particular, Patrick Williams, getting his first real experience after coming back from injury this season, is going to get the assignment likely to start against Giannis, who simply, you know, like he doesn't say it like Aaron Rodgers does, but basically he's owned the Bulls. He is, when he's been out on the floor against the Chicago Bulls, the last 13 games, he and his team has won 13 games, 13-0 since 2017. And this year has been no different. He's been a beast, 26.8 points on average, 13.5 rebounds, 5 assists. That's just this season. So even if the Bulls, and they're going to give Patrick Williams lots of help, believe me, they're going to, Vooch is going to have to take some time on him. You're going to just throw some waves of players at him. But even if he gets his, you know, they have other guys going to hurt you, including Brook Lopez. So how do the Bulls even hang tough or even make this interesting? Or, you know, can they make it close even in game one? Because let's be honest, throughout the season, the Bucks have beat the Bulls by an average of 14.8 points per game. Here's one stat, though. The Milwaukee Bucks allow the most three-point attempts per game in the NBA. Conversely, the Chicago Bulls, and if you're a Bulls fan, sometimes you think they're jacking them up beyond the arc when they shouldn't be. Even when you've seen those games, because they're kind of desperate, they have taken the fewest three-point shot attempts per game in the NBA. So something's got to give there. And Coby White, who we know can be a microwave at times, well, he's got to be a lot better than he's been against the Bucks. He's only hit 19.2% of his threes in this season series against Milwaukee. So if the Bucks are going to shut off the paint, and that's what they like to do, and with Brook Lopez back, they can do it even more decisively than they've done it against the Bulls, and they've been pretty effective. If they're going to give you the long-range three, you got to make some of those. And Coby White has to be better than 19.2%. DeMar DeRozan can't be – I mean, he can be Superman, and we've seen him be at, you know, at least a half a dozen games where he's been in that 40 to 50-point range and you know, single-handedly kept the Bulls afloat here, such as they were the last couple of weeks. But they're going to – Coby White's going to have to start connecting. You're going to have to get a lot more from Vucevic and his offense – and is also his defense, again, against Giannis. So, and he's going to get a healthy dose of Brook Lopez when he's out there on the floor. So we've talked about the experience. We've talked about the three-point shooting. They're going to have to connect. They're going to have to score points. And I don't know if that would even make it a close game, let alone a series. But yeah, I know Billy Donovan felt like the officials were favoring the Bucks with foul calls throughout the series. In one game in particular, Milwaukee averaged 26.5 free throws throughout the series. And he felt like the Bulls just didn't get a fair shake when it came to whistles. Here's what, how you get whistles. You start playing better basketball. Because if you come out and don't show up tomorrow and they dominate the first quarter, the first half, the first game, the officials are going to lose interest too. But if you show that you're out there ready to go and give the Bucks a little bit of a contest, you'll get your fair share of whistles. And you have to do that by driving to the hoop as well. And so that means, you know, guys like Zach LaVine are going to have to take the lane when it's available. And it's awful tough for the Bucks against the Bucks because they really defend the paint, as I said. 312-332-3776. It's you heard Steve Kornacki talk about the odds of the Bulls pulling an upset. To give you context and perspective, only one other NBA playoff series has a more weighted odds to win the series. I know on the odds Odds Couple show with Carmen and the great Mike North, Mike gave out a lean on Denver and said, you know, as an underdog, he might take the 2-1 odds for the Nuggets to pull that one off. And they both liked Philadelphia, the 76ers, and the Celtics. Celtics are minus 130. Sixers are minus 184 over Toronto. I know Mike liked that one a little bit. And I think Carm said he might even take a look at the Raptors a bit. But if you're looking at the odds, the Phoenix Suns are a minus 1350 over the New Orleans Pelicans at plus 750. That is the most lopsided series odds. Then come your Chicago Bulls, who are a plus 700 to the Milwaukee Bucks, minus 1100. The other series are not necessarily close, but they're a lot closer than that. Again, the Celtics only a minus 130 favorite. The Miami Heat, minus 405 to the Atlanta Hawks, who come in at plus 320. And Denver, plus 200, or someplace you can get them at plus 225. And Golden State, the Warriors, a minus 275. So if you're putting some money down on FanDuel, you open up that app. I don't know if you have, Jason Goff said, if you got a few bucks you want to put down on the 100-1 for the Bucks to go ahead and win that series, you know, it might be worth $2 or so and save yourself a cup of coffee and hope that they, you know, will pull off the upset of the upsets. But you might want to go ahead and take the 9.5 tomorrow, because if the Bucks have been reading all the press, I went to the Milwaukee Journal online, Sentinel online. And here in Chicago, we have the Sun-Times and the Tribune breaking down keys to the series. What do the Bulls have to do? You know, going through what I'm going through here, trying to break down and make a case to even make it interesting. You know, they give you three keys. They give you key players, key stats. Up there, it's been a week of get to know fill in the blank. Get to know Grayson Allen. Get to know Brook Lopez. It's just a week of fluff pieces because they don't have to give you three or four keys to beat the Bulls, because again, that's what they do for a living. And that's what they've done this season. 312-332-3776 is the telephone number if you want to jump on in. But the Chicago Bulls have been entertaining. I know that for the most part, fans believe that this has been a surprising year for sure. A surprising first half of the season, certainly. No one really liked the way it ended, but Are they a year ahead of schedule? Any playoff experience is good experience for these guys who've never been in the playoffs. And certainly we want to see what Zach LaVine's all about. And if you're the Bulls front office, AK and his front office staff trying to figure out if you're going to give Zach LaVine a five-year, $200 million contract, the max contract that he can get this offseason as an unrestricted free agent and a max player for the Chicago Bulls, you're going to be watching him very intently to see how he responds, even though that knee is not 100%. And that comes into the contract consideration as well. As much as you might love Zach LaVine, and as much as he'll give you whatever he can give you in this postseason, can you invest 5 years and $200 million on a wonky knee that's already had surgery and then two procedures this year? He went out to L.A. to the specialist, got the knee drained, and also got a cortisone shot. And it still hasn't been completely corrected. So only time will tell in the offseason if it will, in fact, be completely corrected. And the Bulls doctors will have to really give that a good going over to tell the front office if that's a problem moving forward. Then you enter in that conversation with Zach LaVine and his agents about what the future looks like. And if that knee isn't fully healed by the time you have to have that conversation, do you come in with a shorter term offer? And will Zach LaVine even, would he be insulted by that offer? Or would he understand that because of the knee, the Bulls can't invest the max money in the max years? It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think everyone, you know, most Bulls fans want to see Zach LaVine stick around. And certainly he and DeMar DeRozan have helped get them through to this point in the season. And you want to see what those two and some new pieces. I think Vooch might be moving on this offseason. You want to see what Patrick Williams brings to the table and what you need to add as you move forward here. But, you know, this postseason is not just about trying to surprise the Milwaukee Bucks. It's trying to impress the front office as to how much you want to stick around here and what your future here is with the Chicago Bulls. Because a year, if they're a year ahead of schedule or not, it's certainly it's going to behoove these players to show the front office that they can be part of a foundation moving forward and being, you know, whether they contend for a full season next year and are back in the conversation for the top of the Eastern Conference, we shall see. But it's been a tale of two seasons for the Chicago Bulls this year. Fact of the matter is that they're a feel-good story, the surprise story of the NBA early on, and then they've kind of found their level and they found injury more often than they wanted to, certainly, and they limped into this postseason. So a lot of questions on the table beyond whether they can win this series against the Bucks, which everyone says is a resounding no, they can't. But can they make it interesting and can they impress individually and as a team so that the front office absolutely knows what foundation they have here, what they have to do moving forward, and how they get back into those championship conversations? Because let's be honest, John Paxson used to always say, we judge ourselves by championships around the Chicago Bulls. And 1998 is a long time and a lot of dust collected on that last championship trophy that's now at the Advocate Center. So we'll see how it all plays out. And it will be interesting. 5:30 tomorrow night tip. And again, Bulls 9.5-point underdogs. We'll talk more about it with Mark Zander tomorrow morning right here on ESPN 1000. We'll be here talking all sports. You can also catch us on the ESPN Chicago app and check out all the podcasts on the app. It's idiot-proof. If I can work it, anyone can work it. You want to check out the Odds Couple. You want to listen to the Chicago White Sox Weekly, which is coming up with the great Connor McKnight in just a couple of minutes here. You can find it all there. Just download the app. Oh, it's Tyler Ockey sitting in, the great Tyler Ockey. That's terrific. So Tyler's going to sit in today, and he'll bring you Chicago White Sox Weekly. You can check out all the great podcasts and shows right there on the app. Download it at wherever you get your apps. It's ESPN Chicago, ESPN 1000. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. And until then, enjoy the rest of the day. You got all your sports on ESPN 1000, Chicago White Sox Weekly coming up.